This is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. On today's roundtable, the president sends his senior staff to ethics training and too much talk from Terrell. Joining us from our headquarters in Washington, D.C., Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania. From our Chicago bureau, Roland Martin, executive editor of the Chicago Defender. And Nat Irvin, professor of future studies at Wake Forest University, joins us from member station WFDD in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. All right, folks, let's talk a little bit about this ethics class that the president has suggested much of his senior staff take. And this is for people who handle classified information. The briefing is required then of any staff member holding any level of security clearance. So there are two different briefings here, and that will be followed by a counsel's office, the general counsel's office, holding briefings on general ethics conduct for the rest of the president's staff. Mary Frances Berry, this obviously has been announced as a PR move, but outside of it being good PR for the White House to say we're cleaning up the act, do you believe it to be smart politics?
Well, it's smart politics because people don't understand that anyone who has a top secret security clearance or security clearance, which I had when I was in the Carter administration, knows already that you're not supposed to leak classified information. That's one of the things they tell you when you get the security clearance. So if you didn't know that the people were already supposed to know that, that's one of the conditions, and if you're looking at an administration that's been in office, this is the second term, and most of the people who are there have been there since the first term and have had security clearances, then you would be fooled. But I think it's a smart political move for people who don't know any better, and it may assuage some people who are concerned, and they might think, oh, gee, now they'll go to school, and then the whole problem is solved, and forget about the issue, the underlying issue of what happened with the outing of this CIA agent and the indictments and a Roe still under investigation.
Roland Martin, is this also an opportunity, maybe an opening salvo, to suggest by the Bush administration that any problems we had heretofore will be cleaned up and maybe a way, a hope of saving some people who down the line may be close to getting the axe?
I would say no, because I believe that when the president stood up and said that anyone involved in the leaking of the name of a CIA operative will be dismissed, he said anyone involved. Of course, later he changed that to, I think it was anyone indicted or convicted. And so clearly he wants to straddle the fence. And it's simply, this is a very serious nature, and it offends me when partisans in support of the president choose to ignore the reality, because we know that if this was a Democratic White House, you would be, the hogs would be calling from high heaven, condemning them and calling for massive investigations of the White House. And so, again, he would not be able to satisfy the thirst of Democrats unless he gets rid of Karl Rove, especially if he is indicted.
Well, Nat Irvin, how much does that speak to the inability for or of the Democrats to play that game and press the accelerator to try to remove Karl Rove and any other people they believe that are close enough to this situation?
Well, I think, Ed, that, aside from the politics of the matter, what the Democrats stand to gain from it, I think if you just look at it on the surface, you think about where we've come from since the Clinton foibles and the meaning of, what is the meaning of is. Now we find ourselves that nearly half of Americans think that their overall level of honesty and ethics in their federal government has fallen since President Bush took office. And I think that this idea that the senior staff would now engage in ethics 101 is simply a public relations stunt, and I don't think that will have any impact whatsoever on the way that the public views the White House. I think it's a sign of weakness, and I think, to your point about the Democrats, I don't think they really stand to gain from this either way, because this really speaks to a fundamental issue that the country is dealing with, and that is the ethics of why we were led into the war into Iraq, and that we're there on false pretenses, and that nobody seems to be able, this is both Republicans and Democrats, to come clean about it. And so this is sort of the idea that we would now have an ethics debate about how you should handle classified information. Nobody's really taking that seriously.
Also, let me remind the listeners of something. When President Clinton was in office, you had the Republicans who were in control of at least one of the houses. The problem with the Democrats is they don't control the House, they don't control the Senate, so therefore they don't have subpoena power, they aren't over any committees. And that is the chief difference. So if this president, he should be thanking his lucky stars that Republicans control both houses, because they can stall any kind of investigation and prevent it from happening. And so clearly that's why the Republicans were so aggressive in going after Clinton with investigation after investigation, because they had subpoena power.
And Roland has pointed to something that is a fault line in our political and constitutional system. And it's so obvious now that when you have all three branches of the government control mm-hmm. both houses of Congress by one party, the most egregious things can happen politically. They can even endanger people, as with the outing of the CIA agent, absolutely. People's lives. And no one does anything about it. There's nothing you can do because there's no way to investigate and to have a serious investigation.
It seems to me, too, that the greater ill in all of this is the continued distrust and disenfranchisement of those who don't have any belief, quite frankly, in either side of the aisle who holds office.
Right, right. I think that, see, Ed, that to me is the that's why I was thinking in context of the larger issue of the loss of truth. That, I mean, it's our country. We still have Democrats, remember, that still, even Democrats and Republicans, by the way, who are unable to express, to say clearly that we have made a mistake by going into Iraq. This even after we now know that the pretenses for going in there were false. See, in other words, we still have an inability to be able to say we've made a mistake, and that the further we go into this thing, the White House still finding ways to justify for what has happened in Iraq. The public is starting to now, every day we find out new disclosures, how the White House manipulated the New York Times, the print media, how the White House manages to, you know, control Fox News. Every day we have a greater sense that there is something that makes you think that this crowd who's leading the White House is not interested in the truth. Now, I don't mean to indict.
But let's be honest.
I think that's a good point, but let's keep in mind that the distinction. The people who led us into war in the administration, the ones who were responsible, knew why they were doing it, and they knew it was not about WMD. They knew that. They had this vision of installing democratic regimes throughout the Middle East, all these things we've heard now. They knew that from the beginning.
Sure.
The problem is
sure.
We didn't know that. And so now what you have is, now that we know there's no WMD and that's what we were told, now we're saying they should come clean, but in their own minds they're saying, well, we knew all the time that we wanted this other goal.
You make a point.
Also, if there's a fundamental problem in American society to simply say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And so whether we're talking about the White House or whether we're talking about a spouse who cheats or somebody explaining why I didn't tell you why I spent more of the money on a pair of shoes and unsettled the bank account, I mean, it is a fundamental issue that we have, simply saying, I messed up. And if you're a politician, the last thing you want to do is say that, because you know that is going to be appearing in a campaign ad. And so you rather stick to a lie and stick to a false premise versus speak the truth.
All right. Let me take us to what some suggest may be one of those lies and false premises and get Roland out of trouble, because I know you probably bought some gators and, you know, somebody in the household is wondering why you spent that money on them. But here's the question. President Bush said this week that he defends the U.S. interrogation of suspected terrorists after we found a public disclosure of the CIA's prisoner camps in Eastern European countries. He made it a point to suggest that we, the United States, we do not torture prisoners and those who have been captured. Mary Frances Berry, once again, something that this president has to defend. The cloak has been lifted to a great degree. And one other stumbling, quite frankly, of this administration in terms of trying to clean up.
And also an answer, which is one of those lies, which is sort of a shaded answer that you can say is not a lie, when you say emphatically, we do not torture. No, we're not torturing. We have the people who control the prisons where we have the people who are, in fact, responsible. That's why we sent them to those countries, so that we could have them tortured there. So that it's just another story that is made up, the press accounts, which are based on good sources, and the European Union investigating now the ones that are in Europe and some of the other countries that are mentioned. We know that the people there who control those are allies of the administration and will do this. I have no doubt that, in fact, the torture is taking place. It will come out dribble by dribble, and then there will be all kinds of half-truths like, well, when we said we do not torture, we actually meant that the other country was controlling the places where they were tortured, or some answer like that.
But Roland Martin, when we look at the piling on here, and then, Nat, please pick up. But Roland Martin, when we look at the piling on here, it seems to me that this is going to be one of these things that, quite frankly, the administration may be able to skate through, because there are a whole lot of folks in the United States, whether we want to look to the Geneva Conventions or any other rules of war or capture, there are a whole lot of folk in the United States who say, I don't care. Good for them.
Well, surely the American public is going to say that, but you have a powerful force in Senator John McCain, a prisoner of war, who is adamant about not torturing. Of course, and he is in a battle right now with Vice President Dick Cheney. The Washington Post reported this in a great story over this whole battle where Cheney is going up against an increasingly administration as increasingly against it. Condoleezza Rice has been demanded that she be included in all meetings. Again, he's met with a number of Republicans who are saying that, look, we should be exempted from this, at least the CIA, and they're simply giving him pushback. And so what they're saying is America is losing its moral authority to speak to the world. And that, and to be honest with you, the power of America for so many years was not simply its military might. It really was the moral authority to speak to issues in the world. And when you lose that, then you lose credibility.
But, Roland, it's not just moral authority. That's important. But it's also that what Senator McCain and Hagel and others know is that you cannot, if you don't have a Geneva Convention and you don't have rules, what do you do about your own combatants being tortured or your own people being tortured other places? If you have, you know, two standards that you use, then what do you do? And they've had that experience and they understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, all right, Nat, you wanted to say?
I was just simply going to add that I agree with Roland and to the extent that I think that the tide actually has turned on this issue. I think the administration has lost this battle. I think the last vote was at the Senate. There were only 9 people who were willing to support the president's call for an exemption, or the Vice President Cheney's call for an exemption. And see, here's the whole thing. On the one hand, the president is saying we do not support torture. But then there you have the vice president asking for an exemption. Why would you want an exemption if you were not planning cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment?
But that, he didn't say we do not support torture. He said we do not torture.
Well,
keep that in
this
mind.
Is like Mary, this is like the meaning
no, Dad,
of is, you know?
Yeah. We do support torture.
Right. Of course we do.
Speaking of torture, we make no light of what the prisoners go through, but for some on the Philadelphia Eagles, torture has been having a teammate like Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens, who had money disputes and held out for the offseason, has once again become the mouth that roared, this time enough for the Philadelphia Eagles to suspend him for the rest of the season. Here is a supremely talented wide receiver who will no longer play because of his criticism of the team and quarterback Donovan McNabb, who he's had a running feud with. It raises the question of the greater good and whether sometimes you need to just shut your mouth, Roland Martin. When you look at this, here's a man who's going to lose millions and millions of dollars because he is, quite frankly, just mad that he's not getting paid what he believes he should.
I'll be honest with you. Part of T.O.'s problem is he didn't have a black man who was beating his behind when he was growing up and who was disciplining him and putting him in check. No, I'm being serious.
I agree with you.
A lot of the people who are with the Philadelphia team who know Donovan and who also know Terrell is that Terrell is also extremely jealous of the father and mother relationship that Donovan has as well. And this is a guy who is a spoiled brat who has never been put in check. And he also does not know how to be a teammate. And I think, trust me, that surely people will say, oh, somebody else is going to pick him up. But don't be surprised if a lot of teams or most all the teams in the NFL say, thanks, but no thanks. You're lots of talent, but it takes 59 players to win a championship, and we do not want to bother with the headache of a spoiled brat.
That's true. The reality here is when you have supreme talent like Terrell Owens, some team is going to take that chance, though.
Like like the Oakland Raiders. And you can just imagine that the Oakland Raiders will pick up Terrell Owens, and it'll be Randy Moss and Terrell Owens, and then there'll be the Bad Boys from the Raiders, and Al Davis will have the high ratings, and all of us will watch. You know, this is entertainment, but on a more serious point, to Roland's point, I think it does reflect how often athletes are shielded from the reality of the real world. This is a young man who could still, even now, do tremendous good. But he needs to travel. He needs to get out of this country. He needs to go to South Africa. He needs to meet, you know, he needs to have another kind of experience in his life and put some of this, you know, put life into some perspective. Mm-hmm. He's played too much football, and he's not read enough books.
Hey Mary, what of the idea that what we see societally from folks like this, and he will be, I say it unequivocally, he will be picked up by someone because of his talent. It seems often that talent in this country trumps morals sometimes. How do we look at the situation and tell our kids to do the right thing?
We can't. I was thinking about that basketball player who played for the Bulls. I've forgotten his name. All he could do was rebound and everything. He had tattoos all over him. Dennis Rodman. Is that his name?
Yes.
And he was a bad boy. And proud of it, too. And somebody said, nobody will pick him up. And the Bulls picked him up. I think one year he helped them win a championship or something.
Yeah,
he's been a bad boy ever since. I think that there has to be some kind of sanction for people who are that way. They are not good role models. It says to the world, it says to kids, you can get away with it if you've got some talent. And eventually down the line, they won't get away with it, but the kids don't see that. So I hope that nobody picks him up, but I'm sure if you guys know better than I do, somebody will.
I mean, I would have to disagree slightly, because a kid named J.R. Ryder, extremely talented NBA player, they got tired of him coming late, they got tired of his attitude, they got tired of him complaining, got tired of him getting busted for dice and smoking weed, and when his contract was up, not a single team picked him up, and he's been crying for 4 years to get back in.
Roland, as good as he was, Terrell Owens arguably is in the top five players in the NFL.
You want that,
and that's
terminal
a little different.
Well, do you want the terminal cancer in your locker room?
I'm sitting in Detroit. Yeah,
go to the Raiders, guys.
I'm
He's going to the Raiders, Mary Francis.
As sorry as this team is, they'll take any headache they can do for
the Raiders
them, so
will take
believe
them.
Me.
All right, we'll have five wide receivers.
We'll see who's right and who's wrong.
The Raiders
Thanks,
will take them.
Mary, Nat, and Roland, thank you so much.